third chapter. The children discover what the moon can do. The conversation with Lord Frederick left Penelope's head spinning. Not literally, of course. To say a person's head is spinning is merely a figure of speech. Even an owl's head cannot spin, although, remarkably, it can swivel nearly all the way round. Human heads can be safely turned, but actual spinning should only be attempted by tops, globes, Russian ballerinas, and other items more suited to the task. She stopped on the stair landing to collect her thoughts. "How strange and unpredictable the Ashtons are," she said to the potted fern, the only other living creature present. "That Lord Frederick will soon be a father has made him a new man in some respects. It is remarkable what happens when one begins to think of others and not only of oneself. Still, he is an Ashton, and I must be careful for the children's sake. One never knows where danger may lurk." She thought of Madame Ionesco's warning and frowned. How were the incorrigibles mixed up in all this? True, they could be a bit barky and prone to howling when excited, but otherwise they seem untouched by anything resembling a curse. They were three happy, bright, and eager children, and the full moon had little effect on them other than to inspire the writing of poetry in praise of its milky, faraway beauty. Then again, Madame Ionesco is a fortune-teller and prone to spooky pronouncements. She turned her head to check the state of her bun in the landing mirror. The rich auburn colour of her hair caught the light. For all the years that Penelope had been a student at Swanburn, Miss Mortimer had ordered regular applications of a hair poultice that kept all the girls' hair tinted the same dark, drab shade. It was only after leaving school that Penelope discovered the unusual hue of her own hair, which oddly resembled the colour of the incorrigible's hair as closely as one pea matches another. The children were not fans of peas in a culinary sense, but surely there is nothing distasteful about using peas as a figure of speech. "Dear Miss Mortimer," she thought, "her reasons for ordering the use of the hair poultice remain mysterious, yet she is a private person in any case. Imagine her not telling anyone that Agatha Swanburn was her grandmother. I am quite sure I should never be able to keep such a secret." Penelope adjusted a few stray hair.